call of the shofar calls us into the presence of the Almighty God, the King of the universe. And after all, haven't you heard what he has to say? Haven't you heard his voice calling you into his presence? Well, that's what we're going to pursue. This is Doug Foster, and I'm glad you could join us today as we pursue the face of the Lord. Welcome back, my friends. Once again, we're here with Pastor Bruce, and we were going through a short series here on the Ten Commandments. And we're learning quite a bit on this, because when we realize that we all have a long way to go, yes, we need to strive for perfection, but that's probably not going to happen in our lifetime. When you realize you can start just trying to do your best, and you've got 1 John 1:9 to forgive you whenever you slip up, you know you're on the right track. And this should give a lot of people a lot more peace. You're not under condemnation, but we're striving for the victory. And with that, let's go on with some more of the Ten Commandments. We just covered adultery and going through there. So, Pastor Bruce, what do we have up next?
All right, Doug. The next commandment that we're looking at is in Exodus 20:15, do not steal.
Yes.
And as we're relating these to our family life and structure, that's kind of the focal point. That's the focus of our messages here. How do we steal from family? What does this entail? What is this all about? Do not steal. Well, of course, the literal would just be taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Right.
If we as parents steal things and our children find out, then they realize that it doesn't matter so much what we say, it matters more what we do. And then they quickly put the equation together that if I want something that I can't get legally or within the boundaries of society,
right,
I am it's permissible for me to just kind of reach outside the boundaries and grab whatever it is I am desiring. And so if our children view us as adults as thieves, then that is really what we're training them up in.
True.
And again, we were in the last segment, we were talking about self-control. And this is, again, a self-control issue. Because if you don't have something that you want, morality dictates that we work and save for it.
Right.
And in this country, you can work and save for just about anything. You don't need to steal. You can work hard and save, and someday you'll be able to get what it is that you're wanting. And so I think that, in the most literal sense, that's really what we've got to be aware of. On a little deeper sense, as we go into the deeper meanings of this, do not steal. How about this? How about not stealing one of our family members' self-worth?
Wow, that's good.
How many times do parents get frustrated and they say to the kids, you're never going to amount to anything? Well, if you say that enough times, what happens? According to the Word, faith comes by hearing, so the child hears it.
That's what he believes.
And pretty soon that's what he believes, that he's not going to amount to anything. He's not going to be worth anything. He's never going to be successful. Never going to rise to the top.
Oh, yes.
Destined to always be a loser, not a winner. And so what we've done is we've really stolen the potential of his life or her life. That's serious.
It really is.
We can do that with a spouse. If we're not careful with our words, we can steal their self-esteem. We can steal their dignity. You can steal a person's potential. You can steal a person's dreams. Dreamers, they have their dreams stolen all the time. because dreams are really out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, the sensible people around you.
Yeah, quote unquote.
You know,
yes.
They want to straighten you right out.
Absolutely.
And they steal that dream.
Yes.
Because dreams have nothing to do with reality. Dreams are a faith and hope for things that have not yet
right
transpired. They're out there. And so rather than stealing these things, we really need to help promote these things in a healthy manner, of course. But, you know, dreamers and people like that, they already have self-doubt.
Yeah.
They're daring to dream these things. And it doesn't take much to destroy that whole dream.
No. So get up and move out of this land, leave your family behind, and go to a place where I will tell you.
I mean, what was that?
Exactly.
Can you imagine telling that to your family?
Oh,
well,
man.
The Lord told me to move.
Well, who's the Lord?
Yeah, they didn't even know who the Lord was.
No.
Who is this God? Well, I really don't know, but I'm pretty sure I heard from him. And so where are you going to go? Well, I don't know. He's going to tell me when I get there.
When will that be?
When will that be? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. I mean, think about that. That's huge.
That's huge. That's got to take tremendous faith.
And
that's why he was honored.
And yes. He was reckoned righteous because of that.
Absolutely.
So who are we to steal that away? We have to be really careful of that.
Yes.
And it's a fine line. I understand it's a fine line between dreams and delusion. But we've got to be careful we don't steal from people these things.
Exactly.
And self-esteem, another big one. You know, you can affect somebody's entire life if you steal their self-esteem.
Oh, absolutely.
Or their dignity.
Absolutely.
I know people that have been shamed so badly that it's affected their entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And what a shame, speaking of shame, what a shame that is.
It really is.
That somebody shamed them so bad, it scarred and wounded them so badly that it's affected the rest of their life. And what we have to do with people like that, and to our listeners, I would encourage people to follow their dreams. You know, the Word says God, it's God that is at work in us, both to will, that's the dream,
right,
and to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the fulfillment of the dream. So many of the things, and I share with the congregation often, many of the things that are in deep within our spirit and in our hearts and our minds are God-given.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
may seem weird, but God planted that there. And God wants you and I to move out on it.
Absolutely.
And so, as a friend or a father or a brother or whatever, your job is to come alongside and encourage.
Yes.
We talked about that in the last segment, Philippians
right.
chapter 4.
Oh,
to encourage the people to move into this stuff. You can do it.
Yes.
You know, when I was growing up, my mother read to me every day the story of the little train that thought he could. Every day. She read that to me. And I'm telling you, I grew up thinking there wasn't anything I couldn't do.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not true in the strictest sense. But I'll tell you what it's done for me. I've been an entrepreneur all my life. And I've had some success and I've had some failures like everyone else.
Right.
But I have always been willing to step out and try because I think I can do it.
Yeah, you've got the confidence.
And she's the one that put it there.
That's a great example.
Just by reading me that story. I mean, I have that book in my library.
Yeah.
To this day. Because, you know.
Because it means so much.
It was one of the most powerful lessons in my life. I think that we have to be really careful, and this is how we steal from one another in our families.
Yes.
So rather than stealing, and of course, who's the father of theft is Satan.
Exactly.
And instead of stealing from one another, we need to be inputting into one another.
You know, my wife and I had a divorce recovery ministry before, and that was one of the biggest things we saw with the people that came to us. Their lives were torn down by what people had told them. They lost all their hope. They lost a lot of their ambition. They felt like they were no longer worthy to step out and even try.
Yeah.
And to try to build that back up in a person, it's not easy.
It's not easy. It takes a long time.
It takes a long time.
And may or may not ever reach
exactly
the level where it was at. And it's really sad. So that's steal, do not steal. Verse 16, we move on to do not accuse anyone falsely or don't bear false witness.
Yes.
This kind of ties in with what we've just been talking about, because when you bear false witness, what are you doing? You're tearing down a person's dignity or esteem, or you're belittling the person. You're lying about the person.
Yeah, exactly.
You're casting a shadow on their character. You're accusing them falsely.
Right.
It's terrible to be accused falsely. I mean, it's hard enough for a human being to be accused when it's legit.
Right.
We struggle even with that.
Sure.
But when it's false, and if it comes from somebody that's close to you, that makes for a deep wound.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
We were just talking about, marriages and broken marriages. And when a spouse says something so cutting like that, so deep like that, accusing you of something that you didn't do.
Right.
That's serious.
It is.
And it affects everyone.
Yes.
Of course, Proverbs tells us... Who is to be believed? Well, it's the first person that tells their version of the story is the one that's believed. And that's what it says.
Yes.
In the Proverbs. So what happens is when you're going through this divorce and you're talking trash about one another, well, where are you talking that trash? Well, out and about. Because
right.
You're trying to rally support for your cause.
Yes.
And you're willing to rally support for your cause at their expense. And that is that's sad.
It is.
This is a person that you've spent many years of your life with.
Yep.
Okay. Same thing with our children. You know, you don't want to be accusing them falsely. And that's very. You know, sometimes you know that you know, but you don't have any proof.
That's true.
So what do you do? Well, I think one thing you shouldn't do is accuse falsely, because if you accuse and you just happen to be wrong, even though you are 100% sure you're right.
Yes.
I bet everybody that's listening to the show today, I bet we've all thought we were 100% right and then realized, you know what, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I thought I was right. And it turns out you were wrong.
That's happened.
It's happened to everybody.
Yeah, it has.
You know, and so if you accuse a child falsely, you do real serious damage as well.
Oh, yeah.
If you accuse a criminal falsely, somebody that's fighting perhaps even for their life, in the courtroom.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And you bring a false witness, they can be executed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you told a lie. That's serious.
And the literal sense of the word, that's what the verse says, is it refers to bearing false witness in a court of law. The literal sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, when you get into a court of law, especially in big cases, so on and so forth, you know, there can be payoffs, there can
yes.
be all sorts of things going on. And threats.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. So, but if you, someone's going to come out a winner in a courtroom setting, and someone's going to come out a loser.
Right.
And your witness may determine which is which.
That's true.
And the Lord is watching all of this.
That's what people don't realize.
Exactly. And we have to be careful because as we read through this whole list, I can't help but think of Galatians. Galatians tells us, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So if you bear false witness, guess what? You just signed yourself up. Someone is going to tell falsehoods about you.
Yep.
It's not a question of if. It's a question of only when.
Yep.
If you steal, guess what? You're going to be the victim of theft of one sort or another. Adultery, murder, honor, respect, all of these things right down the line. So don't be deceived. Our listeners,
right.
Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Every one of us will reap exactly what we've sown. So I don't want people telling lies about me.
No.
Life is hard enough.
Oh, boy. That's for sure.
Don't need falsehoods going around. And like everyone else, I'm sure, I know I've experienced, there's been many lies told about me through my life.
Well, especially in your position, that tends to happen.
As a pastor.
Yes.
I've been attacked in that way many times.
Yes.
Where bold-faced lies have been spoken. And unfortunately, a certain percentage of people buy into it every time.
Yeah.
And then you lose congregants, you lose friends.
It's
devastating.
It is. And one of the worst things about that is that's what you call triangulation. And the person who gets damaged the worst in triangulation is the third party.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The first and second parties can a lot of times reconcile.
They can.
But for some reason, that outside party just...
Often, more often than not, doesn't reconcile.
Right.
Yeah, they can't get over it for whatever reason. So, I mean, that's huge.
It is. And that's all because of a falsehood.
Right. So don't accuse anyone falsely. Don't bear false witness. I mean, so we've got to really remember that in our families. And then lastly is don't covet. Don't covet another man's house, his wife, his slaves, his cattle, his donkeys, or anything else that he has. Coveting goes back to self-control again.
Yes.
You know, you come over and you show me the new car you just bought. That's been my dream car all my life.
Right.
Now I want that car. You know, I'm jealous you got it. I didn't. That can interfere with our relationship.
Yes.
In the most radical extremes, I could plot your death to get your car.
Yeah. In the most radical, yeah, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? That's craziness.
It is.
All because you got something that I wanted. Again, self-control. One of the lessons that we need to learn in life is when you get your new car, I need to be happy for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's a new thing for you. You worked, you saved, you got it. That's obviously you got what you wanted.
Right.
So that's a desire that's been fulfilled in your life. And I need to rejoice with you. We're part of the same body.
Absolutely.
Rather than being jealous or envious
exactly.
or coveting it, or now I'm not going to talk to you because we talked about it and you knew how much this meant to me and you went ahead and did it.
Right.
Sometimes if you heard that
yes.
scenario.
Oh, boy.
So coveting goes back to this self-control issue again. This is why we need to be praying, Lord, I need more self-control.
Yes.
And here's the problem with praying for self-control. How are you going to learn self-control
yeah.
unless you're faced with these things?
Exactly.
See? So we want to be careful how we pray.
Exactly.
You don't want to pray flippantly. You want to pray according to where you're at in your faith.
Yeah.
And you need to realize that the Lord will answer those types of prayers But he doesn't just give you self-control. You learn self-control.
It's the same as for patience.
It's same for patience.
Yeah.
If you pray for patience, you just signed up to be tried.
Absolutely.
Everything's going to start trying your patience.
Exactly.
And then the Lord's going to sit back and watch and say, okay, you're great. This is awesome. You're learning patience.
Yeah.
And you're either going to learn it or you're not.
That's true.
So, I mean, this is the issue with coveting.
Wow.
So coveting leads to lying. It leads to stealing. It leads to adultery. It leads to murder.
Yes.
The coveting is actually the root of these other issues.
Yeah, it is.
When you really think about it, I'm not going to steal from you if I'm not coveting what you have.
Right. What would be the point?
It just wouldn't even happen.
Right.
Why would I do it? I wouldn't. So why would I do any of these things if I wasn't coveting? So coveting is really, we would look at like murder and adultery as the biggies.
Yeah.
But the biggie is coveting.
Well, probably the others wouldn't even happen if you didn't covet.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't, really.
Yeah.
For the most part, anyway.
Right.
There's other reasons to do those things, but often, more often than not, it goes back to this whole idea of,
right,
I want what you have, and you're not likely to just give it to me.
Exactly.
So I'm going to have to figure out a way to get it from you. You see?
Absolutely.
And therein lies a huge human problem and dilemma.
Yes.
You know, wow. So coveting is huge. And it lists here everything from a man's house to his wife to his slaves, his cattle, his donkeys, or anything else. It's the whole gauntlet.
It's the whole gauntlet.
You may not want his wife, but you want his donkeys.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rhyme nor reason to coveting.
That's true.
You see something, can be a little worthless thing, but if you want it, and you want it bad enough, you're going to enter into coveting.
That's true.
And once you do that, you're probably going to end up stealing it or lying or something.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's very true.
So the coveting is huge. Do not covet. How do we not covet? Well, by learning to be content.
Yes.
That's the only way. Paul said, I've learned to be content.
That's true.
With much and with little.
Yeah.
Amen. So we have to learn to be content.
Yes.
And in our families.
In all things.
We have to, you know, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, it's probably because the water bill is higher on the other side of the fence, too.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you really need to...
You look at both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, make your marriage the best marriage.
Exactly.
Then you're not going to covet somebody else's. Make your house the best.
Yeah, and that's such a big thing. If you turn your heart to what God wants you to do and what He intends to begin with, you will be happy with what you've got,
yeah,
or what He's given you.
Yeah. And don't compare yourself to the Joneses.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what the Joneses have.
Exactly.
Or don't have. What is God doing in your life?
Exactly.
Stop worrying about what God is doing down the street.
Yeah.
I really need to concentrate on what is He doing right here inside my heart.
Exactly. Well, my friends, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us again next time. If you have any comments, please go to our website, www.shilohmessianic.com, and leave us a message. And so until next time, shalom.
Thank you for joining us today as we look to the Father's Word to learn His ways and to draw closer to Him. I pray that there be shalom in your life, nothing broken, nothing missing, as you pursue a closer walk with the Father. Let Him touch your life and guide you as you go through this week. Now please join us next time as we continue to pursue the face of the Lord and ask the question, haven't you heard?